signs and wonders and miracles. Everything I set my hands to do is blessed.
Thank you, praise team. Our lesson today is entitled, Faith Never Stands Still. For those of you who are King James adherents, faith worketh and worketh and worketh and worketh and worketh and never standeth stilleth. If it ain't working, it ain't faith. Faith is so strong and so good, Lady Gale, we don't have to save it for a rainy day. Faith is not something you put away and pull out when tragedy occurs. Faith is something you use every day in your life or you don't understand it. Faith simply says, if I have God's word on it, it belongs to me. Now, you have his word on the sun coming up. You have his word on the seasons not changing. You have his word on seed time and harvest. The pastor, I seeded and I don't have a harvest yet. Yes, you do. You have the harvest of your words that says you don't have anything. You've believed for disaster and you have it. When people tell me faith doesn't work for me, it just did. I can guarantee them that they will have no good thing from God because they have just used their faith to exclude themselves from his promises. There are people who walk by faith, and then there are a bunch of people standing in the Meshuggah line. Faith is not a difficult thing. Faith is another word for trust God. You got to trust God with your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace. You got to trust God with everything. Isn't it amazing how people, they trust God with their eternal destination? Yes, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But they can't trust him with anything in between. I like to trust God with rising up and trust God with lying down. I like to trust God with the weather. God, I'm going out to wash my car now. I don't want to see any rain for 3 or 4 days. I've had neighbors look at me like I was crazy. What are you washing your car for? It just rained. I said, yeah, but it won't for a few days and mine will be the only clean one in the neighborhood. Because everybody else is waiting to see what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. My car is going to be clean for several days now. I had a neighbor come by one day, and he said, this 10-year drought cycle we're in is really bad. And I said, it's going to rain tomorrow. Neighbors look at you like you're crazy. Then when it started raining the next day, he didn't even want to look at me. But you see, when you walk in faith, you don't mind telling people what you know is going to happen. Doctors told me I was crazy when I told them what day I would walk out of the hospital. It's not possible. You're at least 30 days away from that, if then. But you know what? I walked out of the hospital on the day I told them I would. Why? When you believe God, all things are possible. All things are possible to them who believe God for the impossible. But understand this, faith never stands alone. One of the great deceptions I find is people who have faith in their faith. You know what you call having faith in your faith? Idolatry. Pastor, I've got strong faith. No, you don't. You have the faith of God or you don't have faith. And anybody who wants to sell you a book on seven steps to strong faith, they're crazy for writing it and you're crazier for buying it. There are no seven steps to strong faith. Faith is very simple. God said it. I accept that as my new reality. And no matter what anything in the sense realm is telling me, my new reality is with his stripes I was healed. Well, Pastor, I'm believing that. I'm anxious for it to happen. Then you don't believe it. Because anxiety says you don't believe it's happened. You can't be anxious about something you know is yours. One more time. You can't be anxious about something you've already taken ownership of. With his stripes, I was healed. I own healing. Not because of my faith, but because of his word. God is faithful, and if he said, with his stripes, I was healed, then with his stripes, I was healed. But, Pastor, what if you got a headache? What if it? I don't have those, but I've heard of people who do. And understand this. Whether I take God's word, with his stripes I was healed, or I take all things were made by him and without him was not anything made, and I go get some white oak bark, you call that aspirin. They process white oak bark and make aspirin out of it, and you take an aspirin, you're taking God at his word or at his creation. Some of you this time of year get into acid because you know God created it and God makes good things. This past week, my body gave me symptoms of a cold, and I went to the pantry and I got the bottle of acid. Some people call it vitamin C or ascorbic acid. And I took God's creation along with God's word, and I overcome.
Amen.
Pastor, you took vitamin C to get rid of a cold? Yeah. First time you notice a symptom, you take a couple of 1,500 milligram vitamin C capsules. Don't ever take vitamin C tablets unless they're chewable. Vitamin C tablets are a waste of your money, and they clog up the sewer lines. Get vitamin C capsules. You take two the first day. That morning when you get up, pop a couple of them. That's 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C surging through your system, hunting down little cold, evil demons and drying them up. And then you take one about every 4 hours, and you do that for 3 or 4 days, and you're fine. You don't have to buy expensive cold remedies and all that stuff. God made vitamin C. It worketh. God believes in medicine. Did you know that?
Yes.
God said, laughter doeth good like a medicine.
Yes.
God's not saying laughter is forbidden and laughter is bad for you. He said, laughter does you good just like medicine does you good. Don't get so in love with your faith that you can't eat a good meal. There are some people that want to live on prayer and praise. Hun, prayer, praise, and a good ribeye is a whole lot better.
Amen.
Find what winds your watch and stick with it. Faith is a beautiful thing, church. And over the years, I have page after page of definitions that Brother James I've found about faith. But the purest definition I have of faith is the one the Lord gave me 2 years ago during the Big Mac when I was walking right here. And the Lord said, faith is the ability to operate in an alternate reality. And I went, whoa. I had to stop and write that one down because I didn't want to forget it. Faith is the ability to operate in an alternate reality. And I went back and looked at all the pages of definitions of faith I had, and that one said it better than any of them. Because the natural reality is you're broke. But when you're broke, I'm not talking about badly bent. I'm not talking about two quarters rubbed together. I'm talking about two fingers to rub where the quarters used to be. I was having lunch with a friend one day, and he told me, Jim, I lost it all. I'm flat broke. If it wasn't for the $40,000 in my bottom desk drawer, I wouldn't have anything. At that time, I was thinking, if I had $40,000 in my bottom desk drawer, I would be dancing in the floor, singing, "Ooh, ha, I am blessed." But you see, his idea of reality was, I'm down to that $40K I've got in the bottom desk drawer, and if it wasn't for that cash I stuck back for bad times, this would be a bad time. My idea of broke was, I ain't even got a desk drawer. But when broke knocks at your door, you've got to go to the Word of God and go, no, wait a minute. Philippians 4:19 says, my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. What is the living standard of heaven? There is no lack. Nowhere in heaven is there lack. No, you don't go in the front gate and there's a signpost there, you go, food stamps, welfare, home assistance. No. It's Blessing Avenue and there's no want. What is the living standard of heaven? No lack. My God supplies all of my need because I'm a tither and a giver. Now, if you're not a tither and giver, what are you doing reading the Bible? You don't have a prayer. Pastor Jim, that's cold. No. He said, if you rob God, the windows of heaven are closed. And I've said it before. I've rolled up on McDonald's at 1:15 in the morning, back when I was broke days. And at 1 o'clock, they locked that window, and ain't no, you know, quarter pounder with cheese coming out because the window's closed. And the people in there are thinking, I am out of here. And as soon as I get these floors mopped and the fry cooker drained, I am homeward bound. Just sit outside the window and look in, fool, because you ain't getting no Big Mac.
Come on.
And Malachi says, if you rob God, the windows of heaven are closed. I like the windows open. Yeah. 24 hours a day. So I give and give and give because I want to be known as a giver, because givers are also... So let's get into today's notes. Faith never stands still. Romans 10:8. What does the scripture proclaim? The word of truth is available to you. But here's how it has to work. In your mouth and in your heart, the saying of faith. The what?
The saying.
Are you saying what the word says? Faith is being in agreement with God. Faith is letting the word be the reality you hold to when another reality is saying to you, you're sick, you're broke, you're unloved, you're ugly, and your mama dresses you funny. The saying of faith, and that's what we preach, the saying of faith. What did Paul say he preaches? The saying of faith. What I preach is, believe him fully in your heart, meaning trust, and speak his lordship as accomplished. With his stripes I was healed, not with his stripes, I'm believing I'm going to get healed. Speak his lordship over all with your mouth. Faith calls it done. I am the healed of the Lord, no matter what the thermometer says. I am the healed of the Lord, no matter what the stethoscope says. I am the healed of the Lord, no matter what the doctor says. And I want you to understand right now, with the stock market poised for a downfall, with the battle that's going on in the readjustment of world currencies, you know, a lot of Americans were so busy watching pregame interviews and stuff for the Super Bowl that they didn't even notice that Switzerland pulled out of the euro and said our currency is going to stand alone because we see the European common market collapsing and we're not going to be in it. And when that happened a week ago, I told you, look for Germany to be right behind them. And when Germany pulls out, the rest of Europe will collapse. Why? There were only two strong currencies in the European market, Switzerland and Germany. All the rest had wasted their time getting 30-hour work weeks and welfare and government support. And they were so overburdened with the public dole that they couldn't exist. So Switzerland pulled out and said, no, our currency is stronger than the rest of the EU together. And I said, it started. Look for Germany next. When they do, Greece, Spain, Portugal, France, they'll collapse economically. Well, Pastor, it seems horrible. Some of the greatest fortunes in Europe will be made during the next 3 years. Why? Because when you see danger coming, you protect yourself, you hedge yourself, and you get ready for it. Because wealth is never made when you sell. Wealth is made when you buy. And when there is a collapse, and you've seen it coming, and you got liquid, then you acquire things for a quota that you couldn't buy previously for $100. And then you wait for it to come back. And Friday, all of a sudden, everybody around you is going, how'd you get so stinking rich? I took advantage of your stupidity. One of the richest men in the world says, when everyone else is buying, sell. When everyone else is selling, buy. But you know what most Americans do? They follow whatever the trend is. Somebody on the street gets a new car, we got to have one. Why? Did your eyes tell you that? Or your brain? What does the scripture proclaim? The word of truth is available to you. Pastor Jim, my King James says, nigh you. What does the word nigh mean? You know what the word nigh means in the middle of the night. When you feel thirsty and you reach over on the nightstand that's close by and there's your bottle of water, you know what nigh is. It's available. I can access it. I can take advantage of it. So why not put it the way you understand it? The word of truth is available to you in your mouth and in your heart, the saying of faith. That's what we preach you ought to be doing. Having the word available to you, having it in your mouth, having it in your heart. The message of faith says that if you confess, testify, proclaim, decree with your mouth, speak aloud, witness to all around you, Redeemer, Yeshua, is the Lord, not a Lord, he is the Lord. And truly believe, trust in your heart, in your belly, in your gut, that Jehovah, Lord of hosts, did actually raise him out of the dead in triumph over all evil, you shall be saved. Yes, Pastor Jim, that's how I became a church member. No. Saved here is not a date when you departed from sin and came to God. Saved here means anything that's bugging you. Whether it's poverty, sickness, grief, sorrow, hurt, pain, we get victory over any and everything the same way. We believe in our belly, right here, in our knower. I know I can do all things through the anointing that infused me. But the anointing doesn't empower me to do what I want to do. It empowers me to do what His Word said I can do. His Word said I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It didn't say I could lay hands on a deacon and smack them around. But I know He intended it, so I wrote it on the back. You shall be saved. You shall be brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance. You see, Derek, I didn't receive a salvation that got me out of hell and promised me someday if I don't screw up, I might make it to heaven. I found that when I got saved, it was saved from anything and everything that's contrary to His Word.
Yes.
So if I have His Word on it, it don't apply to me. Sickness don't apply to me. It comes, but it goes. Why? Because before it got there, I was celebrating with the stripes I was healed. This week, Lou said, last month our electric bill was $80. This month it's $600 and something. Pastor, what are you going to do? Pay it. My God supplies all of my needs, not if the bill is $80 to $83. If it's $600, now, of course, I'm going to call him and say, hey, fool. I want to talk to the guy that read my meter because electricity doesn't go up. That's too big a jump. $800%, too much. Not that I can't pay it, just I don't want to. Somebody punched the wrong number in the accounting office? That ain't my problem, that's theirs. But health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance says I can confess with my mouth because I believe in my heart, and I can fix anything that comes against me in life. Ken, what a promise. I can do all things through the anointing. Well, Pastor, that's that feeling that comes on you when you get the tingle and the hair standing up. No, the anointing is on His Word.
Yes. Right.
So if I and His Word are together, I have His anointing. Whether hair is standing up on my arms or whether I got the shakes or the tingles doesn't matter.
Right.
If I have His Word, I have His anointing.
Yes.
Do you think Christ hanging on the cross with nails in His hands, feet, pierced in the side, His back bloody, had a tingle? No, I want you to get this. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being casual about this. I want you to get this. The Lord Jesus is on the cross with His back bloody. Bones are sticking out. There's nails in His hands and in His feet. There's a piercing of a sword in His side, and blood is running down His side. Do you think He had an anointing tingling on Him? Ooh, I feel it. Ooh. No. What did He have? The Word. And at that moment, He was authoring faith because He was proving that what God said about Him was greater than the whole world, the Roman army, the devil, and all of hell arrayed against Him when everything that ever was and ever would be was against Him in one moment. The Word still was greater. And He said, into Thy hands do I commit my spirit. Not, oh, Daddy, I feel a tingle. I know this is going to work out all right. No, Eli, Eli, la sabachthani. My God, why have You forsaken me? But you see, He said that for the benefit of the people because He knew why His God had forsaken Him. Because He was hitting for the home team.
That's good.
He had stepped into our position, separated from God, broken, disallowed. And then He died trusting the word that said, you will not allow my flesh to see corruption. So he knew before the fourth day comes, he would be out of there because corruption would not set in. You will not allow my flesh to see corruption. So I'm out of here. 3-4 days at the most, I'm out. And when God raised him from the dead, he finished faith because he proved that when everything in the world system was arrayed against God said, it wasn't enough to stop God said from coming to pass. So one day when the Lord showed me that, I got excited because Hebrews said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I said, when did he author it? And he said, when he took my word to the cross in faith. I said, when did he finish it? When the word he took to the cross brought him out of the grave and proved that the word could be trusted when everything in creation was arrayed against it. You shall be saved. I am saved from sin, sickness, disease, poverty, grief, sorrow, separation from God, from having no covenant, from having no promise, from having no hope. I am saved from all of that. Amen. That line is more important than you realize at first reading. With his word in my mouth, I'm saved from all of these things. With his word in my heart, I'm saved from all of these things. Psalms 107:20. He sent his word, yes, in the form of the anointed redeemer. But you got to remember, when Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't trusting in who he was. He was trusting in what God had said about it.
Yes.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from some, a few, one in a lifetime. No, from all your destructions. So how do I get healed? The word he sent. How to get delivered when impending disaster is facing me? The word he sent. For with the heart, the gut, the belly, one believes God's promise, provision, which brings him to right standing, which is righteousness with God. God, you said it, I believe it, we're one. And with the mouth, confession, testimony is given. Testimony is not, I've had one heck of a week. Testimony is, no matter what this week presented, the God in me was greater than everything that came. Testimony talks about what God has done, not what you're going through. And with the mouth, a confession, a testimony of triumph is given. The combination of these brings the believer to salvation, results in deliverance from destruction, and the promise being fulfilled. Health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance are just a confession away. Faith is birthed by hearing what God did in our Redeemer, accepting it as your truth and adjusting your view of reality to accommodate this new truth of how life is being lived. You see, faith never says, I'm gonna. Faith never says, I believe I can. Faith never says, I'm believing for. Faith says, it is finished.
Amen.
On the cross, he stood there and said, it is finished. What was finished? His life? No, because he'd be back in 3 days. What was finished? The plan of salvation? No. What was finished? What I have got to go through to prove the word works is finished. You see, when he said it is finished, he was already celebrating the resurrection before he went in the ground.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't say, it's going to be finished when I am resurrected. No, he said, now I judge this thing over. It is finished. That's no different when you say, I am the healed of the Lord, and this lie is leaving my body. Not I'm believing God's going to heal me, because you can't believe something that ain't true. God ain't going to heal you. He either healed you 2,000 years ago, or you better have some really good insurance. But the scripture has shut up. Now, it depends on which translation you're reading. Some translations say, but scripture shut up man. Some translations say men. Some says everyone. But a good translation says everything. And if you get your concordance out and look it up, you'll find that's true. God has shut up everything under sin. No, they're failing to align with Scripture, set them under sin. So that the promise that you would inherit the world, that the Holy Spirit would come, that the kingdom of God would be established in the earth, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The men that you find in some translations there is things. The word promise means, have I not said it and will I not bring it to pass? The faith of Jesus. I want you to understand this. There isn't a Demetrius faith. Are you listening, church? There isn't your faith or your faith or our faith or their faith. There's only one thing, faith. Now, you can be strong in faith, but there's no such thing as strong faith. I know there's a lot of books out there, how to have strong faith. That's like a book on how to have wet water. If you got water, you got wet. If you ain't got wet, you ain't got water. Got a sale this week on dehydrated water. What do you add to it? It's like salt. What do you season it with if it's lost its seasoning? Either salt is or it is not. Pastor, I've got strong faith. Of course you do. Pastor, I've got weak faith. No. There's only one faith, and it's strong enough to whip everything that arrayed itself against the word coming to pass to prove to us that standing with the word and decreeing it's done before it is, celebrating what the word said about it, choosing to live in the reality the word describes, not the reality the symptoms describe. So, amen. The faith of Jesus. You see, there's only one faith. He authored it at the cross. It was perfected in his resurrection. And he only did none of them. Now, I didn't misquote there. I want you to get it. He didn't author the word he trusted. And he didn't author the resurrection he received. The word did both. If that same spirit of truth that raised the anointed Redeemer from the dead dwell in you, it can raise you out of whatever problem is tormenting you. But it only does it one way. Total trust in, adherence to, and reliance on it is written. Amen. The author and completer of faith. And I know in Hebrews 12 2 it says our faith, but if you notice the word ours in that funny type, somebody added that to help you misunderstand it. It's not our faith, it's faith. The author and finisher of faith, period. Now, Mark 11:72 doesn't exist, in case you were looking for it. That should be Mark 11:22. Have the faith of God. Well, Pastor Jim, my King James says, have faith in God. But look at the type. We don't have faith in God. We have the faith that God authored and finished. He is the author. That word author is also translated captain. In Acts 3:15, he is called the Prince of Life, and it's that same word. So the word author is also the one who rules over. The author, the captain, the prince, the director, the one who steers faith. Perfecter only occurs one time in the New Testament. The author and perfecter. The word perfecter means completer or final product maker. The faith, not our faith. He rules over it, and he brought it to completion and made it a final product so that all we have to do is receive it. I don't want a new Cadillac that comes in a crate with a set of tools and an instruction manual. I want it perfected. And a lot of people misunderstand faith because they think it comes in a crate with a set of tools and they have to put it together. No, you submit to it like you do to lordship. You choose to live in the alternate reality of God said, rather than my body said, my doctor said, my lawyer said. Hon, there's been a lot of they saids in my life. When I was locked away in jail, they said I wouldn't get out. They said, we've given 12 people immunity from prosecution to testify against you. They said, you have the highest bail we use in cases like this. I said, I will walk out of here. And I walked out on personal recognizance. I was the first person in the state of Texas to sign a personal recognizance for $100,000 bail. Now, we're talking 1974, when $100,000 would buy something. $100,000, you could buy a fleet of Cadillacs back then. Today, $100,000, you can buy gas for your Cadillac. But back then, it was a lot of money. They said, but God said, because the first day in there, they got a Bible to me, and I sat down and I read Psalms 27, and everything changed. They said, you can't live, you can't walk, you can't recover from this. You see, they say a lot of things. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. All right, sir, I'll say that. At one time, Lou and I was going through something, and they said, your house is being repossessed. This is back in the 1980s, mid-80s, when the Austin economy cratered, and a lot of people went broke. And they said, we're foreclosing on your house and you're losing your house. You know what happened the day before? Somebody knocked on my door and paid cash for my house that was for sale. And I walked away with money in my pocket. But Pastor, it was posted for foreclosure. Yeah, but we were believing God. But Pastor, isn't that cutting it awful close? I mean, the day before? I don't care when it comes. Coming is not my department. Believing and receiving is. God's delivery service has passed up a whole lot of opportunities to be early. I've explained to him, God, this would be a good time. This right now would be a good time. But he said in due season, your own personal appointed time of harvest. I keep trying to tell God when due season is. But since he doesn't wear a watch, I have to trust his timing. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Wait a minute. When I was a young Christian, I had people foolishly tell me, that means you. And I looked around at a whole lot of Christians, and they weren't overcoming the rent. They weren't overcoming holes in their socks. They weren't overcoming, I didn't have enough gas to get to church Wednesday night. And I went back to this, and I went, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What is it that is born of God that the world can't stop? And he said, I proved it to you and my son. If I said it, have I not said it? And will I not bring it to pass? Whatever is born of me is what I've said, not how you acted on it, but what I said. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our getting saved. No. Our alignment with God said. Church, get this today. Every problem in your life has an answer in your new covenant. Every victory you need is described in your new covenant. Everything you can ever hope to achieve is described in your new covenant. But if you misunderstand it, you'll miss your blessing. Well, Pastor, I don't have time to study the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. I don't have time to learn, which voice is speaking and which tense is being used. You don't have to. He said the word of God is simple enough that a wayfaring man, though a fool or a child, would not err in it. The problem is not God's word. It's what people have told us about God's word. Go back and read the word and forget what you heard. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What is born of God? Everything in creation was born of God said.
Yes.
I want you to get this for a second. And I want you to forget in 2 weeks when you hear this message that has this in it. But I was sitting writing on the faith series, and the Lord said, what was going on when I said light be? And I said, what Derek said, darkness covered the earth. He said, so what was I looking at? Darkness. And what did I say? Light be. Not being moved by what I saw, I said what I wanted, not what I observed.
Amen. That's good.
I tell you, Phoebe, sometimes you're sitting at your desk and you're thinking, I'm going to write something good. And God can just knock your socks clean off in one revelation. The brother Spicer, it takes you weeks to get over that one revelation. He said, I didn't describe faith for you. I demonstrated faith for you. I looked at the darkness. I looked at the mass that was there, the mess that was on the earth. And into that darkness, into that mass, into that mess, I spoke the opposite of what I saw, and it changed.
Amen.
So that Kennard one day can look into the mess that's in his life and say the opposite of what the mess is describing.
Hallelujah.
He said, light be, when there ain't be no light. But he didn't speak what he saw, what he observed. He spoke what he wanted, and he said, light be, and light overcame the darkness. So I say, with his stripes I was healed, and Robert, I overcome the sickness. I say, my God supplies all of my need, Tim Kitty, and I overcome lack. I say what God has said, and I win. For whatever is born of God, his word, overcomes the world. All I have to do is have his word on it, and it's under my feet. Not because I have strong faith, because I have an unbreakable word. His word cannot be broken, as Brother Ken was sharing with you all this morning. His word cannot be broken, annulled, or set aside. His word is, and everything else has to submit. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. The word our is not there. Faith, saying what God said about it, overcomes the world. Everyone begotten of God, joint partakers of his resurrection triumph, possesses the ability to rule and reign in life. The ability to rule and reign came not with education, but with being born again. The victory that exercises dominion over the world system is the gift of faith God gives to his believers. the victory that exercises dominion over the world system is faith applied. If you can believe in the victory won for you at the resurrection, you can do everything he did. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do in greater. Mark 9:23, you can say this mountain boogie, and the mountain got a boogie. Become a partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. Faith comes always where the report of his triumph is adhered to and testified to, not just quoted. Now, I want you to get this. A lot of people are walking around saying, with his stripes I was healed. But they don't believe it. They're not making place for their healing. They're saying it to hope it works. Confession is not a matter of how many times you say it. Confession is a matter of how many times did you have to say it before it changed the way you see it. You see, confession is not about getting the word to work or God to do something. Confession is about getting your mind on straight so you understood what he's already done. God ain't going to heal nobody anytime in the present or future. But a whole lot of people are going to wake up and realize he healed them 2,000 years ago and they'll accept it. God ain't ever going to save anybody else. But anybody who believes he already has saved them can receive their salvation. That's already a done deal. The God kind of faith. Mark 11:23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted, done for him. The measure of faith. Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. So you should think highly of yourself. But to think so as to have sound judgment. What is sound judgment? God said, therefore, I judge it the same way. Because the highest form of faith is judging things the way God judges it. To have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. The measure of faith, God's gift to you. It was measured in the anointed Redeemer when he conquered everything that was arrayed against his resurrection. The gift, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Well, when did he give that gift? When God said. God didn't give that gift when you received it. God gave it when he said. When he said, light be, he gave us the gift of light. When he said, all things are possible, he gave us the gift of possibility. Accepting his lordship redeemed you. Faith appropriated will continue to redeem you. Y'all aren't going to believe this. We're actually going to the last page. And you didn't believe for miracles. We are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, his work of art. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his handiwork, his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. Wait. When were we created in Christ Jesus? When we were judged with him? When we were crucified with him? When we were buried with him? When we were resurrected with him? When we were seated in him? He came to earth to take on our identity. So, being raised from the dead, he could take us to the throne and give us his identity. Created in Christ Jesus in the resurrection for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we could do it. God believes in get her done. God had the t-shirt before Larry did. What good works? John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do in greater. Get her done. 2 Thessalonians. All men do not possess faith. Only those who receive of his lordship do. You've got to receive. He's Lord over sickness. He's Lord over poverty. He's Lord over sin. He's Lord over fear. He's Lord over grief. He's Lord over sorrow. He's Lord over doubt.
Amen.
Faith does not come by praying for it. Pastor Jim, I want you to pray for me that I have more faith. Impossible. I won't pray that prayer. It can't be done. Now, I can pray for you that the faith you have, you don't turn coward on it. But I can't pray for you to have more of what he gave you, all you'd ever need in the resurrection. Faith does not come by praying for it. Faith does not come by wanting it. Faith does not come by needing it. Faith comes through reprogramming the mind to new covenant truth and by training to accept an alternate reality to the sense realm. You've got to train your spirit to accept an alternate reality. Yes, a headache is present, but I have an alternate reality that says, with his stripes I was healed. Prayer cannot cause faith to work or produce. Oh, church, if you highlight, underline, get this one, because it will refute a whole lot of false teaching in the church. Prayer cannot cause faith to work or to produce. Faith empowers the word prayed to produce. It's the word I'm praying, not the prayer I'm praying. One does not pray for what the word says they have. One does not pray for what the word says they have. Faith must be at work to be faith. If it ain't working on something, you're not in faith. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm believing. That's not a bad deal necessarily, but it ain't a good deal. Believing is the introduction to faith. But you're not doing anything demons can't do. Demons believe and tremble. Doesn't do them any good. Believing won't do you any good by itself. Believing it and accepting it as your new reality will. Faith is not something John leaves on the shelf for a bad day. I'm going to grab this and use it. No. Faith is something you walk in every day. Faith is something you walk in every day because you're saying, I will not have a bad day. Because this is the day the Lord has made. Well, Pastor, you know, this could be a bad day. Maybe if you're a Seahawks fan, but... Oh, it's the Super Bowl. The Patriots cheat. What are you asking for? You see, if I take the word of God, this is the day the Lord has made. If my daddy made this day, Bob, he made this day to work for me, not against me. Don't walk out the door wondering, what kind of day is this? The coffee pot didn't go out off this morning. That must be a sign from God that this is not going to be a good day. No, the coffee pot didn't work this day. God must have intended that I get Starbucks. Dunkin' Donuts, something. No, if I have his word, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice. Which day, Pastor Jim? Every day, I have the opportunity to decree when I wake up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day because no evil shall befall me. My God made a good day for me to enjoy.
Amen.
Pastor, I don't know if I can take another day. He giveth me strength as my day. But Pastor, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, liberal Democrats, I mean, all that evil's out there. There shall nothing befall me but such as is common to man, and I can prevail and overcome in it.
Amen.
Pastor, what are you doing with all these little bumper stickers or something. They're not bumper stickers. I'm telling you how to keep your faith turned on every day. You start when you wake up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad. I'm having a great day today. It's on the menu. I'll have a great day. In fact, I want a double helping of great day. No evil shall befall me is on the menu. I'm having no evil shall befall me today. I don't even care if one of them weird California drivers that's been sniffing too much powders on the highway, they ain't going to sideswipe me. Do y'all get nervous when you drive by a car with an out-of-state license plate and they're going, gives a new meaning to snootful. Church, there's a promise that covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. Keeping the switch of faith turned on is, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So I walk out the front door knowing I got this day licked. I'm not going out there to see what kind of day it is. I'm telling out there what kind of day it is before I go. Because even though I'm looking at the newspaper laying in the porch that says all hell just broke loose, I'm not moved by what I see. I don't care what broke loose. I am loosed from that. There is a promise that covers lunch today. There is a promise that covers the car you're driving to lunch today. His word covers every good and perfect thing. Well, Pastor, what about the other stuff? If you got his word, the other stuff doesn't come. It yells, it waves, it knocks at the door. You just don't answer. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to be dismayed. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be held captive by anything that tries to contain me. I choose to do the greater works because I have a promise from God that covers everything that will occur in my life today or any day. But if I don't choose to walk in it, it won't override my decisions I make. I choose to live in an alternate reality where I'm happy, where I'm healed, where I'm prospered, where I'm kept, where I have all understanding in all things.
Yes, amen.
Be like God. Look at the darkness and speak what you want, not what it testifies.
Amen.
Father God, we've delivered your word this day. And I thank you that under the sound of my voice, this day people's eyes have been opened. This day people's hearts have been encouraged. This day people's physical members have been ministered to. This day people's finances have been rearranged and they'll find out during this week that you did exceeding abundant above and beyond all they could ask or comprehend while they were sitting under the word, because the word they heard was transforming their reality and ushering them into the blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow. I call you blessed in whom the Lord is blessed. None can curse. Go in blessings and be glad that his word is on your lips.